On the 49er 36-yard line, first and 10. Now they go into a pistol with Baker Mayfield. Behind him is Rashad White. Play action, deep drop. Pressured right away by Young and sacked by Eric Armstead. But it was Chase Young that got him off the spot. Get in my belly. Armstead there along with Javon Kinlaw, but it was Chase Young that collapsed the pocket.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We are joined by the one and only Emil Fragoso, who joins us every Monday, even better when it's a victory Monday, Sacktown Sports 49ers Insider. Emil, how's it going? We will get to the Thanksgiving questions at the end of this. But first of all, man, that Niners win, when they are rolling, they look to me like the best team in football. What were your initial thoughts from their victory yesterday against the Bucs?
Yeah, you hit it on the head right there, Styles. They look like they are one of the best teams in the NFL when they are fully healthy and fully going. And this team especially, they didn't even have one of the best games yesterday. Yes, their offense had 27 points, but their defense kind of struggled at times against Baker Mayfield, struggled to stop the screen. But in the end, what happens is they made the plays that mattered most. They had two fourth quarter goal line stands that really secured that win for them. And they'll take that, frankly, because in the past 3 weeks during their three-game skid, they couldn't stop anything. So they'll just take the goal line stance for now, and they got to work on some things before Thursday against Seattle, but they'll take it, frankly, and another win for them.
Yeah, Emil, I mean, the big news coming out of the game is probably the fact that they just announced that Hufanga is going to miss the rest of the year. Jair Brown was able to step in, had a little bit of some good moments, definitely had a bad moment in there as well. Just in terms of that position, obviously Hufanga is a huge part of this defense, especially when it comes to just setting the physicality. How much are the Niners going to miss them? And do you think they're going to continue to roll with Jair Brown? Do you think they'll bring in some, you know, some support behind him or maybe even in front of him as well? How do you see the Niners kind of attacking that position the rest of this year?
So first with Hufanga, yes, it is a confirmed torn ACL. Just got off the phone with Kyle Shanahan and he did confirm that. So the good news, though, with that, there was no meniscus damage. So this means that only the ACL, a clean tear, it means he could be ready to go by week one of next season. So wow. At least a silver lining there for him. He did leave the locker room on crutches with a brace on his knee. Not able to put much weight on it, obviously. So we kind of knew it was a torn ACL, but good news that it wasn't anything further than that because it would complicate the recovery. And then in terms of Jair Brown, they're going to stick with him, Chris, because they took him. They traded up to get him in the draft. I don't remember that. They traded up in the draft to get him. They wanted the Penn State alum who led the NCAA in interceptions last season for football. He is one of the best safeties in football. He was on my go-get list for the Niners last year, and I think very clearly proved yesterday that he belongs in the NFL. That hit he had on Cade Otton to stop that touchdown was very, very big. Yes, he did give up a big 40-yard completion to Rakim Jarrett, but George Kittle talks about this all the time. As a rookie, we need you guys to be a sponge. And Jair Brown is very much like a sponge. Kyle Shanahan talked about in his presser today how he was kind of preparing for this moment all season long, always engaged, always locked in, which is really hard to do for a rookie, especially one backing up Deshaun Gibson on all-pro safety in Talanoa Hufanga. You don't know when that opportunity is going to come. You hope it's this season. You hope it's the season after. It's now, though. And Jair Brown, because of his confidence and because of how talented he is as a player, was ready for the moment. So they're going to ride with him going forward. And I think he's going to show the world that he is very much not a replacement, but kind of someone for the future they're going to look into.
Talking to Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports, 49ers Insider. He joins us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Emil, what are your thoughts when somebody says, and you know, we started this call off saying when the Niners are rolling, they look like the best team in football. But what would you say to those out there that say that the Niners have only won one way, right? When they're rolling and everything's great and there's unicorns and rainbows and everybody's healthy, they look like the best team in football. But when one thing is off, Debo's missing, Trent Williams missing, they don't look as good. And that's not even just a Brock Purdy thing. It's just the team in general. When things kind of get mucked up a bit, they don't look like the same football team. What would you say to that as tonight we watch the Eagles and Chiefs, who the Eagles, we haven't really seen the Eagles win pretty. They're the exact opposite of the Niners. What would you say to people that say, well, the Niners have only won one way and they're kind of, not to throw this word out here, they're kind of front runners a little bit?
Look, I get it. I get it because they don't win a lot of grimy games. That's been kind of their biggest thing this year is can we win the grimy games? But I'll flip it around and say this win was a grimy win for them. Mm. It was not clean and cut. They had to stop Baker Mayfield coming back. He still had a pretty decent game overall against the Niners defense. And while they gave up some big plays, those goal line stands are very reminiscent of what happened last year against the Saints, last year against the Commanders. Against all those games, they had those grimy wins. And yes, their offense played well, but their offense stalled out in the fourth quarter. They couldn't get much going. It had to rely on the defense, and the defense stepped up. So while, yes, they were front runners and they were ahead in this game, they still had to take care of business when it mattered most, and they did. And they relied on a rookie safety to get that done, and he delivered. So, yes, they have to get more grimy wins. They got to win more one-possession games. But if they're blowing people out, which is the goal, obviously, what? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who really cares?
Right, right.
We were just talking about Brock Purdy, and, you know, has he re-entered the MVP chat or the MVP conversation? He's now had two straight games, last week against Jacksonville and then yesterday, where he's just looked incredible. He's got six touchdowns over his past two games. He's got over 600 yards, no interceptions. Brock has looked fantastic. Do you feel like Brock has earned the right to be thrown back into that MVP discussion? And just what are your thoughts in general of Brock being included? Because I think it's a pretty hot button topic, whether or not he even belongs in the conversation.
I do think he belongs in the conversation. I don't know if he's my front runner right now because of everything the Niners do have going for them. Right. They have an elite defense as well as a lot of playmakers that do help him out. But you can't say Brock Purdy hasn't one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this season, albeit the three-game skid wasn't great. But even during that, he was playing at a high level, throwing for 300 yards against the Bengals, you know, playing pretty well against the Vikings except for those two interceptions. Brock Purdy, it was perfect yesterday at a passer rating. Perfect. Not bad. Perfect. 158.3. No other Niners quarterback has ever done that in history. And this is a second-year quarterback, the last pick in the draft, who everyone says doesn't have a deep arm, which, by the way, that Brandon Ayuk throw, incredible. I mean, just since back-to-back weeks of having one of his his best throws of his career. And frankly, his arm looks better than ever. And he looks more confident than ever. And Christian McCaffrey even talked about this afterwards. He goes, I hope people keep doubting him. I hope people keep saying he can't do it because he plays pissed off and he plays really well when he's mad. And that's kind of what they want. They want that Brock Purdy chip on his shoulder because that's who he is. When he plays like that kid that nobody thought could be here, he overperforms and overdelivers, and that's why the Niners are in this position and why they believe that this kid, who is 23 years old, had mono in high school and overcame that, then went to college and won out and beat out every other quarterback. He's just a winner, and that's why they want him on this team. They want him to lead them to success because they know he has the right stuff mentally and physically to get the job done.
Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports 49ers Insider, joins us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Emil, we won't get to talk to you before the Niners do battle with the Seahawks in the Battle of the Turkey Legs. What is your assessment of the Seahawks? Every game, they lose by 1 point yesterday to the Rams. Every game is a close game. Geno, not as good as last season, but still a good quarterback. How would you assess the Niners and or the Seahawks? And as much as the Niners, it probably shouldn't even be that close of a game. We're just going to assume it will be because it's a divisional opponent. What do you think about the Seahawks and what do you make of them?
Well, the Seattle Seahawks are the Minnesota Vikings of the NFC West. That's pretty clear.
Okay, that's hurtful. That's really hurtful. That's such unnecessary stray.
Sorry, Chris. I had to.
Did you?
I know I did because the Broncos won. That made me sad last night, so I kind of had to throw a little shade to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
But in terms of Seattle, look, Seattle is still a very talented team. They have a very young secondary and a very young defense. It's very, very talented, but their offense has been kind of up and down this season, not scoring a ton of points, and maybe that's Geno regressing. Who knows? And now Geno's hurt. We have no clue if Geno's going to play Thursday against the Niners. We don't think Kenneth Walker's going to play. He has an oblique injury, which might even be a sports hernia injury, which is way more serious than people realize. So if this Seattle team is banged up, already without Abraham Lucas, their star right tackle, and Charles Cross has been banged up though well this season, it's going to be a tough day against Seattle, even at home against the Niners, who are very, very healthy going into this week. So I do think that Seattle, it's going to be a close game, but the Niners are circling this game because of what happened last time they played on Thanksgiving at Levi Stadium when they had to eat the turkey legs with Seattle on the field. This is a chance for them to get their lick back, and that's how everyone feels right now.
Emil, just kind of looking at the standings throughout the NFL, I mean, the Niners have taken care of teams like Dallas, and I think, you know, Buffalo seems to be in their own kind of turmoil that they need to figure out. But how many teams around the NFL in general would you say the Niners should should be concerned about when they are thinking big picture, you know, Super Bowl, NFC championship game. How many teams do you think realistically should scare the Niners or at least make them feel like, hey, we need to give our A game tonight if we're going to beat them? Of course, there's still Philly. Detroit looked a little bit shaky against Chicago yesterday. They were able to pull it out. But, you know, I'm looking at some of the other best teams in the NFL. They've already taken care of Jacksonville, showed that they're a class above that. I don't know if Miami's in that discussion, but just your general thoughts on the landscape of the NFL and where the Niners kind of fit into that.
Yeah, they're a top five NFL team for a reason. And I think the Chiefs and Philly and even maybe even Detroit, because Detroit's playing very, very well right now, are teams that can give the Niners fits because of the unique play calling that they have and just kind of the personnel that matches up with them. But all three of those teams, especially Philly and Detroit, love to play very physical. And that's kind of been the Niners' kryptonite over the years on the offensive line in the trenches, that they get outworked sometimes, especially Philadelphia last year in the NFC Championship game. So I do think there's like three teams they got to be worried about, but that's kind of it. There really isn't anyone that they have to be like, we have to bring our A game. Yes, they do play every single week. They got to be their best every single week. It's 1-0 every single week. But in terms of like games to like mark down your calendar, like that's going to be a really tough game for them. There aren't many left over. And I know things change really fast. They were 5-0, then 5-3. But now they're kind of back to rolling over teams. And if Brock Purdy keeps playing this way, if the offensive line keeps protecting him, they're going to keep scoring points because this offense is just potent with Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel next to him.
Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports 49ers Insider, joining us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Emil, thank you so much. Before we let you go, though, Thanksgiving's on Thursday. Give us a breakdown. Where you're ranking the turkey, where you got some ham going on, the stuffing, mac and cheese. Yeah. What's the plate looking like? What food are you looking forward to eating the most on Thursday?
This might be controversial. Uh-oh. This will be good.
We live for it.
I don't love turkey. I'm a ham person, first of all.
Okay.
Okay.
It's because turkey's just too dry sometimes. If it's not perfect, I'm not touching
Preach.
It.
I hear you. Dry, some gravy on it.
I also don't touch cranberry sauce. Like,
come
whatsoever.
On now.
Yeah.
Buy
don't
a
touch
meal.
It.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you.
I don't very like anything very with berry in it. That's a overall. I don't like anything with berries. That's not my thing.
I hear you.
Interesting.
Okay, so you're rocking with the ham.
Potatoes, all that stuff, yeah.
All right, Emil. Well, enjoy yourself, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you, my guy.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports 49ers Insider, joined us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Got to get to a break. When we get back, a former NBA player kind of dissed Sacramento, but also kind of gave Sacramento flowers. A very interesting soundbite. He's got it all from a former NBA player. We'll get into that and much more. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Debo goes in long motion right. Purdy out of the shotgun, looks left, throws end zone. Caught! George Kittle in the back of the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle has been absolutely on fire in five of the last six games.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, take you up to 2 p.m. Only three shows this week till we get our turkey time. Thank you to Emil Fragoso for joining us. And, you know, the whole turkey thing, I don't get the turkey slander. You eat it about once a year. And what's funny about the turkey slander to me, I'm just going right into it here.
Yeah, why not?
What's funny about the turkey slander to me is that people eat turkey all the time in their sandwiches.
All the time?
And I know it's cut differently.
Yeah.
But I don't get why the whole it's dry thing only pops up during Thanksgiving.
I think it's because it's turkey's the only time where you, like, really just eat the turkey. Like, some people are smart and clever and make, like, you know, Hawaiian roll
y'all
sandwiches
don't like gravy?
Or whatever. Yeah, I guess that's kind of...
Y'all
that,
don't like gravy?
That
and Emil said he doesn't like cramp. I'm into it. I'm into the cranberry sauce. I get down.
I'm kind of out on the main dishes for Thanksgiving. Wow. I'm all about the sides. Give me all sides. Minus cranberry. I don't like cranberry sauce in stuffing, but everything else.
We actually don't go ham. We do turkey, and then normally I'll do a tri-tip. That's what we do. We don't do
that
ham.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, we don't do ham. We do the tri-tip.
More just like turkey is like the lowest quality meat, in my opinion. Just in terms of like taste, like, you know, that's, like you're saying, like tri-tip, like,
but the turkey we had, nice... but that's the thing. If you're just throwing that bad boy in the oven,
for sure,
no seasoning, yeah, just some salt,
right,
and pepper,
gosh,
that then, yeah, that's, yeah, not going to do it. But that turkey we had at the potluck, that, mm-hmm, was fuego.
That
shout
was
out to the engineers.
That was,
yes, that was smoked. Was that smoked?
It must, yeah, have been, because it was
and
juicy.
Someone brined it. You can
somebody
tell that.
Brined.
Yeah, there's a lot of intention.
You got to put in more work with the turkey.
Yes.
You just got to put in more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I think a big... I mean, I don't want to send out a random stray at my dad, but I do feel like...
Oh, wow, you got dry turkey.
No, I'm not...
No,
the quality of our turkey is always fine. It's not the quality of the turkey is the reason I don't like it. I just think that sometimes, you know, people are like, I'm going to do the turkey because it takes the most time, and I don't get bothered when people, you know, when I'm making the turkey, you know,
right,
people...
Hey, I'm doing... So if you're saying it's a cop-out.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe the TLC sometimes isn't given because it's just like, this is how people don't bother me. And,
yeah, you know, we
sometimes that leads to
we
more
fried
TLC,
a turkey but, one year, yeah, in the backyard, and that thing almost took off like the beam. It almost went straight, yeah, up in the air. It was very unsafe. It was, yeah, very unsafe. Don't do that. Don't do that
season.
If you're, yeah, frying a turkey. Just be,
oh my goodness,
careful. My mom was like, I know how to do this. And just so much hot oil,
yeah,
and you just drop a big old turkey in there. I'm like, mother,
cold.
I don't, yeah,
yeah.
I'm looking at it outside. She's like, get out here and help me. I'm like, well, you need to take cover.
Nah. Yeah.
We need to take cover, so be careful if you're frying a turkey. It was banging, though. It was fire.
Okay.
There was almost a fire.
Yeah.
But in turn, the turkey was fire. All right, so you got to be careful in Sacramento. We don't want any issues going on. If you're frying a turkey, be safe. And we have some things about to say about Sacramento, me being a new Sacramento and trying to figure out this way. Lou Williams, the former NBA Sixth Man of the Year, mm-hmm, he's got the wings in Houston or whatever it is.
No,
Atlanta.
Lemon
Atlanta.
Pepper Lou.
Somebody on the text line when we were talking about that, yeah, going out in the city, somebody said, 916, ask Harden about the Houston nightlife. I will not, because
no,
I'm not saying,
no,
hello to HR,
no,
before,
thanks,
we go on break.
No,
so we do have sound. Simone is taking a call right now, but we have sound. We just put him on hold. We have sound from Lou Williams and a bit of a confusing take as he talks to Shams Charania about Sacramento. Here it is.
I think this is the first time in a really long time. I mean, maybe when Chris Webber was with the Kings, that you can look at the Kings as like a trade destination. They're going to be involved in every star player, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, maybe Zach LaVine, whenever stars become available, because Monty McNair, that organization, they've done a good job at keeping their assets. They have tradable contracts, so they're going to be a player for stars coming up for sure. I think eventually they could add a third piece.
So, Shams, you ever been to Sacramento, Shams?
Oh, I knew it was coming.
I'm just saying they have the pieces,
no,
they have the assets, and they have a team that could be.
Have you ever?
I have been to Sacramento. I went to their first game against the Warriors. It was crazy packed. It was lit.
But when it comes to free agency, city is very much a part of that decision.
That's why they have
process.
To trade for someone.
It won't be voluntary. I guarantee it. Now, when they get there, they'll probably fall in love with the fan base. Sacramento is one of the great places to play. Great basketball environment. You'll probably get stuck there once you're there, fall in love with the culture of the fans and the people, but nobody's just going.
Wow, I did not have Lou on my bingo card this morning, being the city guy.
Very
that's
confusing.
First off, shout out Shams, who was trying to turn that into a very positive news clip that we
Shams
would have played on the show.
It.
We would have been like, oh my God, Shams Charania says that Sacramento's actually kind of a destination, possibly for some place. Shout out Shams. Can we get a cut of Shams say, it was lit?
Yeah,
or whatever.
It was lit.
It was popping. It was lit.
It was lit. It was
but,
lit out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's normal hatred stuff from, not even hatred. That's just the normal narrative around Sacramento.
Once you get
it's kind of tired, though.
Well, but he's saying nobody is signing. Because first of all, Lou Williams, we're talking about trades.
Yes.
So he diverted
the
whole thing.
That was a random stray. Just like I threw a random stray to my dad
right there.
Well,
no one's going
to
come there from free agency. We know that's not even a Sacramento thing.
Yeah.
That's a small market thing.
You can say the same thing about
NBA.
Say it about Portland.
Yeah, that's over half the NBA, Lou.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't even know, you shout out your wings in Atlanta. Is people want to go to Atlanta that much more than Sacramento?
I mean, for what Lou's going for, absolutely. But
well,
we don't have a lot of those establishments in town. Not as much as Atlanta.
You're talking about the wings.
Yes, I'm talking about wings establishments. Look, there's tons of fire wings around town.
Shout out fire wings.
That's what it sounds like Lou's missing to me. I know he's got his wing set up in Atlanta, but
his own flavor. His own flavor.
Seems like he needs he needs some fire wings.
It was just confusing because they were talking about trades. He says, well, no one's gonna get there in free agency. Okay, to me, it's not even a Sacramento thing. You know what's a really interesting thought? Being from the Bay Area, when we do this conversation and we talk about where would these young players want to go, yeah, right? Because Lou ain't talking about basketball. He said basketball is solid, right? Yeah. If you look at the Bay Area is also a very confusing area in terms of destination spot, right? If you look at all the quote-unquote huge, the great destinations to go, you are a 23, 24-year-old athlete, right?
And millionaire.
So let's call you 26, yep, right? Because you just got that deal, or it's free agency, right? Yep. You're going to get cashed out wherever you go. I don't think these dudes are worried about, now, unless they got Harrison Barnes to say, hey, you need to invest in certain things.
Sure.
We're
right next
meeting
to the Capitol, right, just like sit in on a meeting.
Maybe you run for governor or something like that.
Handshake some senators.
Get some babies, yeah, you know, all those things. But even the Bay Area, even coming from the Bay Area, you know, it's not famous for the nightlife. I mean,
that's always
how many cities are there? I guess my point is, how many cities are there where people are like, I need to go there, or the type of city is, yeah, driving me? These guys, yeah, can do whatever they want.
They're not hanging out where normal people are.
To
Tiger after the game on K Street. Okay,
no. They got another stray.
No, shout out Tiger. I'm saying that to say, like, they don't hang out where regular folk hang out. They're
exactly
gonna always go to some private.
Every
super
city
low-key
has a cool area that we, yeah, cannot afford.
Exactly.
Right. Every city. Yes. So whether it's Milwaukee, you think Dame is, oh man, what's Dame gonna do with Milwaukee? Oh, I don't know. He's probably just going to the local bar. What are we talking about? Yeah. These guys are living the best version. Every city.
It's not the 80s anymore.
No.
It's not Larry Bird going to, like you said, your local pub after a game.
No, I'm gonna go to McDowell's because that's the only place in town. What are we talking about?
Yeah. No,
these guys are living a great life no matter where they are.
Yes. Top tier life.
I think the whole thing and
it's overblown.
The whole
destination
thing is completely overblown.
If it's not LA, Chicago, New York, or Miami, they're all the same.
Right.
Relative. I mean, you know, like even the Bay Area.
I would not put the Bay Area in that conversation.
Bay Area's got tons of nice places to live.
Yeah.
But if we're talking.
And you're going to pay for it too.
Don't get me started. And you probably won't make nearly as much money as everybody else across the league when your check finally comes in.
Right.
But I like, for the stuff that Lou is talking about, there's like four or five cities. Like, we're talking the LAs, we're talking New York. Maybe New Orleans is in that list. Maybe Houston's in that list. Maybe Atlanta's in that list. But there's not many places. More than half of the NBA doesn't fit into the criteria that it feels like Lou is talking
about.
It's
like 60%.
And it's just an overblown narrative to make it sound like these places are just wastelands. It's like, don't go to Sacramento. There's absolutely nothing
to
do.
You'll never get heard from again.
Yeah, and it's like, no, that's the furthest thing from the truth. You'll be able to find something every single place you go. I'm a Vikings fan. There's nothing to do in Minnesota, but everybody always talks about, all the players are always like, during the summer, though, it's fantastic. It's got rivers and it's the land of a thousand lakes or whatever they call it. Like, there's tons of boating, and you're always going to find something to do, especially case in point, when you're a millionaire. There's always going to be something to do.
Yeah, and like I said, going back to the Bay Area, it's not like, okay, it's not like you're 26, 27, unless you have a Harrison Barnes in your life. Oh, wow, I can't wait to go to the Bay Area and invest in Silicon Valley, right?
Andre Iguodala.
They did that stuff when they were in their 30s. Yeah. So I think there's, like you said, we're talking about four or five cities, Lou. And really, Lou just told himself, because we know what you're trying to do out there in Atlanta, Lou, and we can't say it on FCC airwaves, but we know it. We ain't talking about anything basketball related. I mean, your wings, okay, Lou? So keep Sacramento's name out of your mouth in that way when you're trying to disrespect it, because it's not a Sacramento thing.
No.
It's most of these cities. We just counted the cities. There's New York.
Yep.
There's Miami.
Yep.
There's
L.A.
L.A.
You got Atlanta, which clearly has that,
you can
whatever
put
you're
Atlanta,
looking for.
I mean, you could put
I think
Atlanta
and Houston have what those guys are looking for.
No, but I'm saying, Chris, when it's
that
time for free agency,
yeah,
right, we do not include Atlanta on that top destination.
Absolutely
not. The pocketed destination where everybody wants to go.
Absolutely not.
We don't. We don't. We got TC on the line who wants to be a part of the conversation. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. What's up, TC? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
What's up, Styles and Watkins, man? What's going on?
Not too much. What you got for us?
Just vibing, man. The Kings, man. You know what I'm saying? Our Kings balling, you know, finding themselves right now looking real scary with that defense, you know. I told the boys we're going to win about 8 in a row. But we going to keep that going. But, let's switch it to Thanksgiving. Look, check it out. What makes Thanksgiving not only is the size, but it's the turkey. You get what I'm saying? Everybody's like, I don't like turkey. Well, turkey, if it's cooked right, that's what makes Thanksgiving besides the stuffing,
that's right.
The mac and cheese, and all the extra stuff. Look, Styles, that was a twist of tri-tip. I might try that this year. I never thought about that. I don't want to steal your shine, but.
I'm telling you.
Listen, hey, that was a nice deal. I like ham. But the tri-tip and turkey will probably be a nice blend.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
I got to agree. Chris.
Yes, sir.
I got to agree with you. I'm not big on the cranberry sauce. I like cranberry juice, but the cranberry sauce, I'm not big on that. I missed that. Simone.
Yes.
Hey, I missed that. They have it on the table. I'm not putting it on
Why?
The plate.
I never understand. It's so delicious. Give it another try. Give it another dollop this year, TC.
I can't do it. I'm off for that
foul.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, TC. Got to get to a break. When we get back, I got to apologize to Niners fans for something that we put on these airwaves last week, and we won't do it again. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Baker, shotgun, 2x2 formation. Mayfield back. Pressured sack by Chase Young. And his first full sack as a 49er. Just blew around the great Tristan Wirfs.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thank you to Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider, for joining us, and thank you to Lou Williams for adding more chips on the shoulders of Sacramentans by saying, hey, once you get there, you'll actually, you know, it could have been worse. Hey, once you get there, you'll love it, but no one is going to voluntarily go.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard that narrative. Like, it's not even that it's necessarily untrue. It's just more of, you know, Sacramento, I think I've told you, it's a very tribal place. It's one of those things where, hey, we can say that about us.
Right.
You
it's like your sibling.
Exactly.
It's like your sibling or a close friend. If you can say, yeah, so-and-so is just lazy, man.
Yeah.
But then if somebody else says, you're like, hey, whoa. I could say that.
Yeah.
But you can't.
You're definitely not cool. Because, what Lou Will said is based in facts. Like, a lot of the people who have came here to Sacramento, especially like guys like Chris Webber or Domantas Sabonis, or, you know, even guys that have been drafted here, those are not their choice. It has not been their choice. And more times than not, and I think it's been carried over from when Chris Webber initially came here, people don't like it. Like, Chris Webber hated Sacramento. He looked outside his plane window and talked about how all he saw was grass and cows and, you know, that's where the Cowtown narrative kind of came from as well. And then, you know, yeah, Chris Webber, he eventually, you know, signed a contract here, and he could have left if he wanted to. He ended up staying. Sabonis, kind of a similar situation. Harrison Barnes even has been put in that similar situation. And, you know, it's whatever. It kind of is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, technically the letter of what he is saying, the actuality of what he's saying kind of isn't wrong. But it's just, you just don't like to hear other people say it.
Let's go, Sacramento.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Spears.
Well, and also, like we said in the last segment, it's just not that different to other yeah.
It's not
cities.
Unique to Sacramento.
No. It could be, you know, any of these. I mean, I don't know. Phoenix, right? All the guys that went to Phoenix. They
went
to Phoenix.
Boston. Boston's right. A historically great franchise. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I listened to a couple Boston-based people, and they've said the best free agent Boston's ever gotten is arguably Gordon Hayward. Like,
yeah.
they don't get, you know, they were in the KD, you know, sweepstakes as well, the Hamptons, when they all went to meet in the
Kyrie,
Hamptons.
Kyrie, that was the famous Isaiah trade.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. I mean, they've you could argue that even great franchises don't get the level of respect of some of those big cities. I don't know.
I'm just going through now. I literally have all the teams here. And one place that we forgot, and disrespectful to me since I went to school there, is Philly. So I would put Philly in the big...
Philly's a big market.
It's like market versus city, right?
Yeah.
Because, or that's the confusing thing.
Yeah.
Because the Bulls, right? Chicago.
Yeah, I mentioned Chicago initially. What should we, it's a big market,
right?
But I wouldn't say it's a destination city.
No. And no. I think that is what everybody kind of gets
confused
about.
I think the market size is why it's a destination. Of course, chicken before the... One has to come before the other, but
right.
I wouldn't say that Chicago is a place where, yeah, everyone's going to say crazy bustling nightlife and, mm-hmm. you know, you can live there and you feel like you're in New York or L.A., even though it is. I think technically it's the third or fourth media market in America.
It's confusing because you also have... What do you do with, you know, D.C.? Right? Nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Would you consider that a destination spot?
Probably not. No, I don't think I would.
I don't think I would either. Right? Brooklyn is a confusing one because you're in
Super
Brooklyn.
Super confusing, right.
So technically, it should be a destination spot.
But we just saw KD and Kyrie were there, and when the Knicks were good making the playoffs, New York, the city, cared more about the Knicks even then than Brooklyn. So
yeah. Everybody is going to feel some type of way if your city is talked about in a negative manner. Like you said, we can talk about it if we want, but outside folks, you should not be.
Especially not as just a random stray.
Especially if we're talking about trades.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if we're talking
about
trades.
When we're playing well. It's like, this is not the time to just throw random shade towards the Kings' way. There's a time and place for it. And it's just not now when they're actually succeeding and we're trying to have fun over here.
916-339-1140. Doug wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Doug? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Nothing much. Kings are looking good. I was the one who picked up Chris Webber for the Kings when he came to town.
Oh, great.
And it took him a little while to get used to it. I saw him cry a couple times, but...
Safe to say.
It was definitely, I'm glad he stuck around. I got to take care of him and his dogs all the time when I go on the road. And he just really loved Sacramento before he, moved on.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Wow. Thanks, Doug. Got to hang out with Chris Webber, watch his dogs. I mean, and here's the thing. Places evolve.
Yeah,
right?
For
Places
sure.
evolve.
Sacramento, big time.
Yeah.
If you were to be in Sacramento, even like... 2-3 years before the pandemic, it's a completely different... I mean, don't even get me started before Doko was there. Mm-hmm. Like, this place has been completely turned on its head these past 10 years, and it's still growing. I mean, it really felt like as we were entering the pandemic, Sacramento was really just opening things up left mm-hmm. and right, and then the pandemic hits, and everything kind of slows down, and it feels like now we're starting to get to that point again where especially downtown restaurant bar scene is starting to kind of climb back up. So, yeah, to your point, like, Sacramento is definitely an evolving city, and it feels like it's evolving towards maybe not being, definitely not being in the conversations like New York and Miami and all those things, but it might be more of a neutral place where it's just, there's nothing great. Like, it's not like you are in those big towns, but at the same time, it's not like there's nothing at all to do.
No, you can always...
It's not Oklahoma City.
No, you can, well, yeah, well, see, well, now you're...
See, now,
now
it's
you're,
like there's always
right,
somebody
no, don't
to
do
punch
that.
Down
you can't
at,
do that.
You, know?
You can't do that. It's just, hey, well, I'm not tall, you know, but I'm taller than that dude, so I'm,
15th is still better than 30th.
You can't do that. No, we are not... No shade at any small cities. That's messed up, Chris. You can't...
Just,
you got to watch
this
stuff.
Hey, man, I've been here my whole life. I think I can, I can throw shots down.
I hear you. And one thing to remember... And an old coach, he played for the Expos. He used to tell me so many things about, just baseball and the major leagues and just a lot about life and baseball in general. And he said one thing, and I think this goes beyond baseball, is that when people get an idea about you, it's very hard to change it.
Yes.
And he was telling me that as far as baseball is concerned, but really just in all of life. And sure. I think that, I'll never forget, and these places aren't perfect, but just the narrative in San Francisco versus Oakland. Like, I had a buddy who, when we were living in Oakland, I would say, hey, he would come up from LA, right? He was from the Bay. He was from up north, right? Would come up from the Bay, and, we were living in Oakland, so I'll show you around. And I would say, you know, hey, what do you want to do? Like, I got a spot here in Oakland. I got a spot here. And he would come up with his girl, and he only wanted to do stuff in San Francisco.
Of course.
And I would try to tell him, hey, man, you know, Oakland's got some cool stuff, too. I live here. Like, let me show you. He's like, oh, I actually found this place in San Francisco. Why don't we do that?
You know, Frisco, you mean?
Don't do that. Don't do that. And you know, it's just in his mind. In his mind, don't do that either. And I'm not even from the city, but please. But in his mind, Oakland was a certain way, and
yeah,
we're not getting
sure.
into how
no,
Oakland isn't
not,
perfect, and
yeah.
neither is San. My point is that neither is San Francisco,
yeah.
right? But in his mind, it was a better look mm-hmm. to be in San Francisco for
yeah,
whatever.
He wanted to tell all his friends, oh, yeah,
I was
we
in the city,
here,
right?
Here,
I was
here,
in this, this,
yeah.
and this, and it, okay, yeah. right? So that, and I think that Sacramento might struggle from that. But then at the end of the day, it's kind of your, it's kind of your. Your secret, right?
Yeah.
The other
That's
side
the
of that.
Best part about it. Exactly. Lou kind of told on
right.
himself there. It's like,
right.
but the thing is, once people get here, they love it. To your point,
yes.
like you can have all of these narratives and outside thoughts of what the situation's going to be. And mm-hmm. you can be like Chris Webber and cry when you get here because you feel like your life is over. But
right.
when you get here, you're like, wait.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. My neighbor isn't a cow and
right.
a horse and
yeah.
a donkey.
No,
like,
there's no horse and buggy. Yeah, like, there's nothing like
you're
that.
You're just moving here. Like,
no,
your
I was
going
to say,
you know?
I was going to say, we got to get to a break. But, you know, my wife hadn't come up. So when me and Chris were getting this show started, I was up here alone. And a buddy came up with me one night. So we had a night out on the town. And he's from the city. And he said, dude, I got to come back. Sacramento
what?
Was popping. Sacramento was popping. And
okay.
I'm just meeting random. I'm just meeting randos saying, hey, where should we go? And we're just following
yeah.
where people told us to go. So because I don't know my way around the city. So we
right.
went to some of the
I got you.
I won't name names, but yeah. we went to, you know, some places in the city, and my buddy had a great time. And he is a single man in San Francisco. All right. But hey, at the same time. You know, maybe you just like it being that.
Maybe we
that
should,
nice little secret.
Yeah, we should change our name to like California's little best kept secret or something like
That's
that.
That's right,
you know?
Something like that. Styles and Watkins got to get to a break. I will apologize for what we put on this airwaves last week. When we get back, Sactown Sports. Sacramento, Sacramento, where you at? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Shout out to the YouTube holding it down. It's a party right there in the YouTube chat. Thank you for joining us. Shout out to our callers so far, of course. And let's get to Mitch in New Jersey, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Mitch? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Hey, happy holidays, guys. How
Thank
we doing?
You. Good, good. How you doing?
Good, good. Working. I gave my, well, I have to make a statement. I'm going to retire March 1st. I think 35 years. I'll be 62 by then.
Oh, congrats.
Congrats.
Thank you. Hey, with the turkey, I like the white meat and the stuffing and the sweet potatoes. I don't like that brown meat, so I'm not crazy about turkey.
Okay.
I think with the 49ers, the 49ers got one of the best defensive lines in football. It's coming together, even without Drake Jackson. Well, I'm just a little USC biased there. And I think you can't say Kings they go 6-0. Pelicans are a pretty big team, so they're going to get one at least, the Pelicans. No more than one. We're deep, and you got to like this team. Thanks for taking my call. You have a nice holiday, everybody.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mitch.
Great
same
holiday.
To you, and congrats
Happy
on the
retirement
upcoming
as well.
Retirement. Yeah, 6-0 would be really tough
be almost,
for,
yeah.
for the Kings. And, yeah, being a team back-to-back, well, the Kings got beat back-to-back by the Rockets.
Yeah, let's not forget.
Right?
Let's
so it is possible.
That was the last road trip.
It is possible, but it is hard. There's just a pride thing, and
yeah,
now the
for sure.
Pelicans are getting Zion back, so they're going to be juiced up.
Yep.
And they had, I believe they had a tough loss over the weekend, the Pelicans did, so they're going to be wanting to bounce back from that. But yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah, they lost to the Timberwolves on Saturday by 1 point.
Oh, yes.
Come on, Pelicans!
Yeah, so there you go. It'll be tough for the Kings to beat them twice. Quickly, I wanted to apologize for something that, you know, Chris and I, when we come together to make this rundown, to pull the curtain back a little bit, we make the rundown. Chris will have some things he wants to talk about. I have some things that I want to talk about. We combine on something. We're talking basically 24/7, and I brought this one up, and I feel I feel just dumb for bringing it up because I don't think this guy believes it. Last week, I brought up Nick Wright. We had some sound about Nick Wright saying that Baker Mayfield would look like Brock Purdy with this team. And of course, we thought it was ridiculous. He also said that if Brock Purdy was on the Bucks, they would be in the Caleb Williams conversation. And I played it knowing that it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a part of me that thought he might actually believe it. So after the game ends, he goes ahead and he posts and he says, oh, we're going to have to do this again. Still not giving Brock any flowers. So I want to apologize to our listeners. I'm not playing any more clickbait because that's the point, right? Yeah. That's why you say outlandish things so people like me or people like you pick it up and say, let's react to this ridiculous thing. Fool me once, Nick Wright. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. We won't, not to say, no more clickbait sound.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it because it's embarrassing because he doesn't even believe it.
I think from now on, just whenever anybody, not even just Nick Wright, when it's Brock Purdy versus X player and you, if you put X player on X team, then they would be Y and they would be Z.
Yes.
Let's just avoid Brock Purdy right X, now. Y, and Z.
Let's shake hands We're shaking hands on it.
It's official.
Here.
Thank
to
you.
To everybody on the in the car that can't, or listening on the app that can't see us. We have shaken hands.
Yes.
No more, let's try different dimensions and the multiverse of Brock. That's the next Marvel movie coming out. Brock Purdy and the quarterback multiverse where you put Brock on teams and Baker Mayfield has 100,
season.
A perfect passer rating if he was on the Niners. That's what we're doing. And that's not even to say that Brock, that we're saying Brock should be MVP or anything, but it's just the hyperbole.
It's so tired.
And how far that you go.
Yeah.
That is just absurd to me.
It's ridiculous.
You can't believe that, Nick.
No, you can't.
You can't.
No, I mean, that would be like if I were to just come on. Look, I watched Josh Dobbs the last 3 weeks. I'm telling you, Josh Dobbs on the Niners, Super Bowl. Purdy on the Vikings.
What's the line?
That's you might. The Vikings got Nick Mullins, so they don't even need Brock Purdy if they want to be average.
But to be honest.
That's what people are
saying. That's the line because the Mac Jones, the Dan Orlovsky, when he said Mac Jones will. That's the line to me. Right? What's the line of who would look like what? We did this comparison, and people said, okay, Josh Allen, that's a little too much.
Yeah,
I like the Tua comparison.
The Tua's fair, but I can't do the Herbert even. I can't do the Josh
Allen.
It all fits into the Baker. It fits into the whatever, whoever bad court. Like, to me, again, if we want to have fair conversations, I love the Tua comparison because they run a similar system. You could argue they, you know, obviously the parallels between the Dolphins and the Niners are very obvious. There's a lot of actual similarities there, but I'm done with Brock Purdy and this other person who doesn't look or play anything like the Niners or like Brock Purdy. I'm tired of those conversations.
I hear you. Stephen A. had something to say. Stephen A. says that Brock isn't a proven star yet. This was this morning. Let's hear from him.
Talking about Brock Purdy, we saw what he was without Debo. We saw what he was without Trent Williams. By the way, San Francisco with Trent Williams and Debo 7-1. Okay, so let's get that out the way first. That's number one. Number two, when we talk about Brock Purdy, you're talking about a guy that's working with 4 first-team All-Pros and 7 Pro Bowlers all together. Okay, we got to take that into consideration. We also got to take into consideration that yesterday the brother was operated with a clean pocket, 13.3 yards per attempt. Okay, first quarterback to average 11-plus yards per attempt in 3 straight games since Kurt Warner in 1999. I mean, the man is sitting back there taking pictures, calling his honey, saying, when you want to go for dinner and all of this other stuff before he throws a damn pass, okay? This is what we're talking about with Brock Purdy. So let's just reel it in. I'm not saying the brother can't play. I'm not saying that he's not handling his business. A perfect passer rating is a perfect passer rating. But if we really, really want to be honest and real about something, let's take into account Kyle Shanahan. He elevated Jimmy Garoppolo, did he not?
Yep.
Didn't he elevate Nick Mullins? I believe that he did. How about C.J. Beathard? He even had flashes, for crying out loud. Over the years, we've seen Kyle Shanahan work with dudes that you would have never believed would produce anything. Brock Purdy happens to be a quality quarterback. I think that he may very well prove to be a star in this league, but it hasn't happened yet.
A lot to break down there because the C.J. Stop it. Stop it with
the
CJ.
Can I just say, though, right there, that's why Stephen A's the GOAT. Because you can hate him. You can think his trashes are, or his takes are trash. But, dude, like, the man knows what he's talking. Not in the sense of he's right, but just like he's got thing. Like, he's got a take for everything.
Yeah.
And, like, it's based in something.
Right.
It's not completely just made up and, like, he's just throwing nonsense. It's not just clickbait. Like, he's got real substance behind what he says. It's just a lot of the time it's the most ridiculous thing possible, and I definitely don't agree with what he's saying, but I still respect the fact that he has a take that actually has some layers to it.
Yes, that is a line, right, yeah. Where Nick Wright just kind of just throws it out from there. The hip.
Steph Curry sucks. Kevin Durant's the worst.
Right. That is LeBron's the line. I'm with Stephen A. until he brings up the C.J. Beathers and the flashes. That's a little bit much, but you would agree. I mean, yeah, when things are going well for Brock, he looks like that guy. The question is, what will happen?
Brock's playing too well. I think that's the problem.
I think Brock would really be in this MVP conversation if those couple games, and he got the Niners into field goal range, and they missed it with the Browns. But those other two games, and I know the concussion and all that, but I will say, with no Debo, that was an opportunity. And now that you're fully loaded and now you've come back to that guy, if you want to go against Brock, it's very easy to do so. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back,
quick injury update. Can we give a quick injury update on the Kings? Because I'm seeing tons of people in the YouTube chat asking about an injury update. And we just got one from our guy Frankie Cardicelli. Real quick before we go to break, Kevin Huerter, questionable with a finger sprain tonight. Sasha Vezenkov, questionable with a left thumb soreness. Keon Ellis is out tonight, as is Trey Lyles, Alex Len. And so it does seem like Davion Mitchell might get an increased role tonight with Keon out. So
wow, we will react more to that, and we will break down the Pelicans when we get back. And there is a texter who wants to change Davion's nickname. We'll talk about it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.